Hare Krishna. So we're happy to have everyone here tonight. We're very honored and very grateful to have Pankajangari Prabhu with us here in New Ramanreti. Those of you that do not know Pankajangari Prabhu, he is one of the longest standing residents of Sri Mayapur Dham and half of the famous team of Janani Vas and Pankajangari. Many people have spent most of their life trying to tell which one is which. For all we know, this is really Janani Vas and Pankajangari's in Mayapur, but no one is quite sure. But at any rate, Pankajangari Prabhu's here. He has spent his entire life dedicated to the service of Radha Madhav and Srila Prabhupada in Mayapur, and has become very knowledgeable, very expert, and very capable of giving direction, guidance, and instruction on the process of deity worship. He's held innumerable seminars and facilitated so many workshops, and now we're finally somehow or another have gotten him here, and we're very, very happy to have him, and we ask him to come forward and do his wonders. Thank you very much, Pankajangari Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for inviting us to Alathra, a famous temple in ISKCON, Radha Shamsunda. I'm very happy to be here, see such nice deities, everything is nice and clean, and lots of flowers. So it looks like everything is flourishing nicely. I'm Pankajangari, by the way. The introduction was for Janani Vas. I'm his assistant. So he's asked to speak about the something about deity worship for a little while. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, on its devotion, there are listed 64 items in devotional service, and I think 34 of them are concerning the temple worship. That means more than half are concerning temple worship. So deity worship is a very big part of our culture. And although the Yuga Dharma is Nam Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names, deity worship is also an integral part of that. That it gives us a focus, a base. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada established the temples, established deities, and more or less, we follow the Hari Bhakti Vilas and others. Our official book in ISKCON is what has now become the Panchratrika Pradeep. I think it's the third book we've had about deity worship. It's mainly based on the Archana Padati by Srila Sanatana Goswami and Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami. But of course, there are other Gaudiya Vaishnava Paritis also, so they drew from others and come up with something that was kind of suitable for ISKCON. There is no standard of worship in ISKCON, no fixed standard, that is, except like for making the, we chant the Guru pranams three times and Srila Prabhupada's pranams three times each, Namo Mahabharam Naya, Namo Brahmanya Devaya, for offerings. And Srila Prabhupada's dress should be clean, should be punctual, should be cooked, the offering should be cooked by Brahmins, and the worship should be done by Brahmin initiated. He stressed cleanliness and punctuality as the two most important things. And then very different kind of instructions, sometimes different kind of instructions, how to perform those things, how to offer the arati, how to... So sometimes there's little contradictions. And also the different parathis are saying also different methods. So there's no actual fixed standard. I mean, we offer the incense first, and then the lamb, and then the argya, then the cloth, then the flowers, and the chamar and fan. Apart from that, there's no fixed standard in ISKCON. There's a recommended process. So the deity worship was temple worships. That was Srila Rupa Goswami and others. They said that was for the rich people. They can build temples. And of course, the Goswamis weren't rich, but they engaged rich people in building huge temples in Vrindavan for themselves. They lived very simply. And it was especially recommended for the householders, the deity worship. In the house there should be deity, because in the householder means that you're doing business, you're going out into the world and dealing with materialistic people, and sometimes you can't always afford to be too honest if you want to make a living in Kali Yuga. So the deity helps to purify your household life. It will regulate your life. It means you'll make a little sankalpa that you invite the deity there. You'll more or less, tell him that this is what to expect in our house. The difference between the deity in the house and the deity in the temple is that in the temple we move around the deity's schedule, and in the house the deity moves around your schedule. In other words, when you get up, he gets up, whatever you cook, he eats, and when you go to bed. But in the temple, it's different. We follow his standard. We have to cook what he wants. We have to, or we offer the arities according to the scheduled times. So the deity is actually more merciful in the house. And so the deity will regulate the household life. That it's actually Krishna's house. This is the consciousness, hope to come. It's actually Krishna's house, and we're his servants. If Krishna's not the center of the house, then there's sometimes competition between the husband and wife who's actually the controller in the house. So if the deity is there, it saves that. It saves that. We're both servants of Krishna. It's his house. And your life will gradually be regulated like that, because you have to, if you made a vow, or you've told Krishna, the deity, that you're going to offer him at a certain time, you're going to wake him up at a certain time in the morning, then you'll have to get up in the morning. And if you don't get up, you feel a little guilty. So then you're going to rise early in the morning, then to the deity worship. One has to be clean, right? Then you'll clean yourself, clean cloth. Then you'll have to cook something for the deity, and the deity, the standards are, that means only food in the mode of goodness. So then your diet will change, because you, in the household, you generally cook what you're eating. So like that, you'll gradually become, your lifestyle will actually become purified and regulated. So this is why it's recommended in the house. Of course, Srila Prabhupada said, if you're living near the temple, as far as ISKCON is concerned, then it's not necessary to have a deity. But if you do, the deity shouldn't take preference, the house deity shouldn't take preference over the temple worship, the programs in the temple, if you're living close enough to easily attend. We've started a program for deity worship in Mayapur. Kasila Prabhupada asked Jananda Das many years ago, I mean, just a few years actually, after he started worshipping the deity. Of course, Jananda Das didn't have any training at all, practically speaking. When he was in Mayapur in 1971, I think, and there was only half a dozen devotees there. So he was watching the pujari. That's such a nice way to become Krishna conscious. I would like to do something like that. Then within a week or two, that devotee left, and then they asked Jananda to do that service. So he didn't have really have much training at all, and he didn't even have a watch at that time. So he would, he'd wake the deities in the morning after the Mangal Arati. Then he would go to the Ganges, get some water and some mud to clean the deities, and when that was finished, he would make the offering, cook the offering, then offer it. It was quiet. There was no clocks. He said those were happy days, and he said I had to do everything myself. He said now I have 40 pujaris under me, and I'm in complete anxiety, making sure that everything gets done. Jamuna trained him a little bit when she came to Mayapur. She told him some things. So she was like the first real pujari. And even though he didn't hardly know anything, then Srila Prabhupada said, now you should train others. Well, he hardly knew anything. But he never forgot that order. And so after 30 years, and the Shingakavachar Prabhu, he's the deity worship minister at the moment. He was having these, we used to have seminars in Mayapur during Gopurnima. And then we were connected there, and Nishin Kavachai is a very ambitious person who likes to expand, and so eventually come down, we should make our own school, own facility there. So then finally the deity department in Mayapur offered us some facility. We have some a big area, probably about twice as big as this temple room, maybe a bit more, and we have four big classrooms there. So we teach a basic, no, we're quite thorough actually. It's a 4-month course from November to February. It runs into the Gopurnima festival, so it's quite thorough, quite detailed. And we have very good results. The students have very good results because they have a lot of time to practice. We have we start with the theory, then a lot of practical, mainly practical, and then the students have to do hands-on stuff. We have about 20 sets of busts of Radha Krishna so they can practice the turbans, etc. And some half a dozen small sets of deities and complete sets of puja paraphernalia. Then we have fiberglass models of deities, Krishna Balaram and Radha Krishna, Jagannath, Gaurinidhai. So they get the basic training, then we teach them how to worship the deity, how to do the archana, how to address the deity. And then they get that right at the end, so they can come any time in their off time and practice. So they have the facility is always there. They can come and practice any time they want. And the method we use is which is a popular method nowadays for doing things, that they're taught the theory, they watch a experienced person doing, and then they practice, people watch them, and then they're assessed by the teachers, and also the students sit round and will assess someone, watch them do the whole puja. and all the students are sitting around with the list of the correct way to do it and the correct mantras, etc. And so they know that soon I'm going to be sitting in the middle there. So everyone gets a little nervous about that, that you know, you're going to be assessed by the other students. So they really practice hard to do it. And everyone gets great results like that. It's really good. They have plenty of time. So at least, you know, at least the people know the standards. We also offered a course for the GBC and the temple presidents. They were interested, but they wanted a crash course. We said we can leave it up to them. We can have it at different times of the year also. At least the president or the should know the process of deity worship. It won't take long. So at least they know what's going on, because when the curtains close, who knows what's happening inside? Really, what we see is when the curtains open and we see Radha Shyamchandra and Gaunitai and Krishna Balaram. That's all we see, that they're nicely dressed, it's clean, and there's flowers, but who knows actually what goes on inside? So it's good that the managers actually know the basic principles. They can go in and actually see the... Because many times you hear the pujari say the president or the manager never comes in the deity room. They don't know what's going on. So they should at least learn the basic standard. Not difficult to learn. And they can see that everyone's doing a standard practice. Of course, you can't expect everyone to do the same, and that's not what we're going for. That you can't expect a temple which has 20 pujaris and the temple that has 2 pujaris to be able to come to this all the same standards. But the basic procedure, and we're simplifying it a little bit, because what's the use of having an elaborate system if no, they can't even follow anyway. Most temples aren't following anyway that. So we're trying to also simplify it a little bit. That's the progress. And another thing we're working for is about 100 people went through last year the school. Of course, in this course we have from November it's a diploma course. They get a diploma and different gradations of recommendations of what they can do. You know, some people can go in and assist in the deity room. Some people can clean the deities, and some people can actually dress the deities. We get different categories like that where they come up to. Because the darshan is the main thing. That's all that we from outside. That's all we know. When they open up, we just want a gorgeous darshan. That's what we want. So that has to be there also. So someone maybe qualified in as much as their preciseness or their accurateness in worshiping the deity and their punctuality and the chanting mantras or whatever like that, but they may not be very good at dressing, which is very, very important. We're famous in ISKCON for our darshans. In fact, we're the standard practically in India. All the temples are actually increasing because of our ISKCON temples. If you look back at what it was like when we first went to India 30 years ago, I know in our area, because we're covered, we're surrounded by temples. Well, Gaudiya Vaishnava temples there in Mayapur. But those days it was a white kurta, white chadar, dhoti, and a paper flower garment. And one next, that was it. But now they're different. They're very, very much elaborate, nice dresses and shringa. Like I say, it's a very large part of our culture to help us become purified, come get rid of passion and ignorance. So many rules for entering into the temple, right? So that is our culture. It's what Srila Prabhupada wanted us to do. Of course, he said we can do without the temples. We chant Hare Krishna, but for all intents and purposes, our temples are a great focus. It's where we have our programs, right? We have our bhajans, kirtans, 24-hour kirtans. Often they go inside the temple and other programs. Maybe because we have a big hall and we don't have much else, so everything can go on inside the temple. But it is a great focus. I was asked that there may be some questions, some practical questions, if we can, that anyone would like to ask about the deity worship at this time. Like I say, there's no standard, so more or less everything is up to the local management. I mean, it's offense to eat in front of the deity, so therefore you wouldn't eat. You'd close the curtains if you're going to... Eating doesn't mean you're popping a little mahaprasad, it means sitting down and eating. But you got to be... If you don't have any other facility, then, you know, you got to have a program. There's a lot of guests. The temple hall may be the biggest place, or the only place. But then you have to do it. It's not ideal, but we're not that advanced or opulent or whatever the word is, so far that we have facility for every specific function. Some temples do, some temples don't. But as far as possible, the sanctity, you know, should be kept. Whatever goes on, you know, whether it's prasadam or wedding or other initiations, understood, there's an atmosphere of, it's a temple, and these are holy practices we're actually doing, honoring prasadam, honoring the Lord's prasadam, and these samskaras, you know, like weddings, initiation, they're religious practices. So as long as that is borne in mind, as long as things are done tastefully, then, you know, what else can you do if you don't have any other facility? So it's more or less, I say, it's a local, it's up to the local management. How these things go on. There's no rule, no fixed rule. That's why we say it'd be nice if the managers were trained in deity worship, have come a little closer to the deities, understand, you know, even maybe do some artis or something sometimes. They actually appreciate that from managers, if they can do a little bit. But once a week, and they really appreciate it. It's a different mood when they go inside, especially for managers. Because then it's another world when you go and offer an arti or even do some puja for the deity. The ones I've spoken to really appreciate it the first time they go. Srila Prabhupada also instructed us, generally, oh, keep it simple. He said that. Keep it simple. But we are a lot more cultural than we were 30 or 40 years ago. It was pretty rough and tough in those days. They talk about the good old days, but there were some pretty wild times, I tell you. These devotees, how old? 5, 6, 7, the oldest devotee, and straight off the street, some of them. It was pretty wild. But now we see there's much more refined, there's much more culture in ISKCON than there was before. And so as far as possible, the rules are there. So as long as Srila Prabhupada also said that you should be an hour with the deities. He said if a pujari can't finish within an hour, he doesn't know what he's doing. But also he said many things. As long as the deities are open on time, according to the place, then what does it really matter? Like I say, there is no fixed standard. The GBC had no standard for deity worship. So if you can do it in elaborate puja, that's great. But you shouldn't open any later. You should keep the same time. So it's not a problem. It's like some people are very learned. They know Shastra, they quote Shastra so much, and they study Shastra a lot, and it's great. Some of us are more simple. But nobody minds that someone's really learned or really expert in a particular field. Nobody minds. So there's no harm in that. And Srila Prabhupada said there's so much to deity worship that Srila Prabhupada he never practiced deity worship apart from his own little Radha Krishna deities that his father gave him. I don't think when he was living in the Gaudiya mat that he was worshipping the deity. And he recommended us to go to different places. He said, I don't know everything. He said, I know whatever I need to know, Krishna can tell me. But he said, I don't know all these details. So therefore he recommended us to go to this person or that person and learn from them in different areas. He would recommend like that. He told us we can follow the stand of the Radharaman temple in Vrindavan, which we did get some advice from Vishambha Goswami at that time. But of course, we're not going to follow everything that they did because it's a different mood in Vrindavan. The Goswami mood, they go in their manjari forms. And we don't we don't have that kind of meditation. but as far as the procedures and that, a lot of the procedures are concerned, we'll follow them. So simple means you go in there, you be as quick as possible. Quick doesn't mean rushed, it means be efficient. You do it as quickly, as quietly and neatly as possible, and then leave. So if someone's expert, obviously they can do a lot more. So what is the harm as long as it doesn't interfere with the program? So if someone is like that, then we encourage them. Go, good. They can perform a high standard. But the GBC won't make that a standard in ISKCON because it may be too much. And they're frightened to make any standard, because it has its repercussions. Yeah? Thank you for the compliment. I know it's very popular, everyone has their own Govardhan Shila nowadays, or deities at home. But like the important thing with Prabhupada, it shouldn't take away from the temple program. you got your deities here. I mean, I guess for some of you, Radha Shamshunda here, or the Ista Devas, if you haven't been around too long, otherwise you may have heard an Ista Deva from, it means, Ista Deva means your favorite worshipable deity. So everyone should have one like that, then you can meditate on them. the idea is that you, you know, the temple, the deity is for our benefit, and we all should be engaged in supporting the deity, the deity's program. And his deity here is, he's the center of this community, ideally, and the community is based that, you know, for you have sangha with each other, plus you try to expand that sangha so it reaches everyone in Florida, for instance, whatever your thing is. That's the whole that's our real mission, to get to engage people in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan mission. So anyone can do that in so many different ways, just by being, you know, just by being a nice person yourself, just to attract people by your behavior even. There's so many different ways you can do it, so many aspects of Krishna consciousness. But in all, we always like I guess we would refer to this as actually the center point in Alatra. I don't know, it's my first hours here. But I would imagine if you took a poll, what is the center point here? They would say here, in the community. They would probably say here. Because, you know, he's a boss, you know, after all. So that should take precedence over all of our own private worship. As far as possible, we should... I don't know what your actual goals, missions are here in this place, but as far as possible, you shouldn't take away from those goals and missions of the community, if you have any, So it's great convenience for you, if you're living close by, that you can... Here's your deed, here's Sister David. Here you come and see the worship, and you get... When you see the arti of the deity, for instance, you get the same benefit as the priest who's performing the arti. So it's nice to do, but if you have time and it doesn't interfere with your service, or you could actually offer more for the service instead of doing that, then maybe we should rethink a little bit about that, because Srila Prabhupada didn't even... He liked it like that. It shouldn't take away from the service. I think even once in Los Angeles, he said even the grihasthas should eat at the temple. They shouldn't even eat at home at one time. I know it's a problem. I know it is a controversial thing in many, many temples. Oh, I have my worship to do, and it takes, you know, 4 hours of the morning, so they can't do other particular services. It's nice to do. It's nice to have a thing, but it shouldn't take away from... Here is your temple. It's all being done here. You get benefit. Don't worry. You get purified by following this temple program. If you live a long way, then it's understandable. If you don't live, but if you're living right close to the temple, then why do it? Or Srila Prabhupada said, as long as the deity worship is punctual and it's clean, then that's the main standard. And for other things, if there's kirtan and prasad distribution, then any function is successful. If those two are there, whatever function you have, this prasadam and kirtan, then that will be successful. I can't remember I don't know if it was a Prabhupada quote of one of the sannyasis. Srila Prabhupada could see by the deity, what was the consciousness of the managers. I'm not sure if that was a Prabhupada quote or the sannyasi told me. But certainly the deity will reflect. Srila Prabhupada said, when you the more you serve Krishna, the more you love Krishna, or the more you beautify Krishna, that when you dress Krishna, because we're an expansion of Krishna, a reflection of Krishna, he said, you also become beautiful. It's like if you dress the, when you dress yourself, the reflection in the mirror also becomes beautiful. So if you try to make Krishna beautiful, then you also become beautiful. So that is the job of the pujaris, is to make Satchana, the deity, so attractive that people will forget all their troubles when they come and see them. They'll forget everything else, and then become devotees, will become enlivened. And mainly the devotees get their bliss, most of their bliss at festival times. And the festivals are generally centered around the deities. We're always trying to arrange these festivals, keep all the devotees enlivened, and all should be trying to increase. Prabhupada said, you can't maintain. He said, if you just maintain, he said, then gradually the standard will go down. This applies to everything, not just deity worship. He said, if you try to increase, at least you will maintain what's already done. Because the material world is difficult. Pressure's there, but if you try to increase, at least you're going to maintain that thing. But if you just try to maintain, you'll gradually go down. So, I don't know how I can answer your question succinctly. No. You're talking about in general or myself? this is what we're trying to extend in our deity worship course. The main thing, underlying thing, is that we want to see that, you know, you're actually dealing with a person. This is what we're trying to bring out. We start from that and finish with that. This is, you're dealing with a person. That's why all the rules and regulations are there, because he's the most important person, he's the most wonderful person. So you better be really on your best behavior. For myself, I'm just an official priest, and I just see it as a job, unfortunately. when the curtain's open, what you see is not what I see. You're seeing all the beautiful things, and I'm looking for all the defects. I'm looking for the pins and the blue tack what's showing, and the and the charters that are not hung properly, and that's the occupational hazard of being a pujari. You look for the faults instead of the qualities. But I think it's in Krishna consciousness, it's an all-round. It's not, the development is all around. It's not in one specific area. That you become purified, your senses become purified, your desires, your intellect becomes purified, your mind becomes purified, your desires become purified, your habits become purified. But it's you can't say which aspect of Krishna consciousness is doing that, because every aspect, it's all encompassing. Any aspect, any one of the nine devotional processes, will purify your whole existence. It's not just one thing. But more or less we're seeing, I mean, we're not that advanced, but we're just seeing that this is our, we were told in the beginning by one of the co-directors in Mayapur, that he said when those theaters open, he said, I want people to faint. He said that's your job. So that's our service on that behalf, that we're representing all of the devotees in the community. So therefore, also that for your behavior, just like it is said, the pujari shouldn't be seen in the marketplace. Kind of thing, you wouldn't see us in the restaurant. I've been in the restaurant about two times, I think, when there's some function that you wouldn't see us playing football or watching some other thing. Generally. Otherwise, people would think, you know, it's okay for the roadies, but then they would think, why is the pujari doing that? So that, in that way, it's helpful, because we need, you know, we need to be strict with ourselves if we're not forced. The nature of the mind is like water. It always finds the lowest point. So you have to be strict with yourself. If you're feeling a little weak, then you should push yourself into a position that you, you know, into a service that's demands. You know, it doesn't give you so much free time, or, you know, that's to help ourselves. I remember one devotee was asking me once, you know, he was talking about something. Say, you know, you know, because I can say that, you know, you're not following strictly. You miss Mongolarity, and I said, I've never missed Mongolarity. He said, no, I mean, over all the years. I said, I've never missed Mongolarity. He said, but I'm talking about, I said, we used to sleep in the temple. We used to sleep in the pujari, and we had to get up. We were sleeping in the temple. But it was out of, it was just out, if I wasn't sleeping in the temple, then obviously, and the further away I'm living, I wouldn't be so punctual, but because there was no option. And you're sleeping in the pujari, and you have to do these things. So it's good for yourself if you just put yourself out there. If you're feeling a little weak, you can do that. You can just take on something which has to be done. Like deity worship has to be done. The show has to go on, you see. The young people, they sometimes can't hack that, the younger pujaris, because there's no end. You know, you're not trying to achieve something. It's the same thing every day, same thing every day. Young people can't really hack that. They're going to have some kind of goal. Or anyway, those are a little more passionate. But within that, then we have to get, if we're not in the mode of goodness, then we have to get our inspiration, that from festivals. Then you discuss how to improve the festival, how to make it more attractive, how to bring more, you know, attract more people, make more facility for the deity, increase the festival around the deity. So we think that's where we get our inspirations in that from, and gives us some like these other goals, the new goals, something we haven't done before, to increase like that. There should be a festival every day, actually. The festival is attractive, the devotees get their bliss. So as far as possible, we're trying to do that. Sometimes we go over the top, and then we get chastised, and it becomes controversial, then we have to stop. And Tulsi, remember the marriage of Krishna and Tulsi? That was such a wonderful festival. Did it a few years, it got too controversial. Especially now, the internet and all that, you can't keep anything at home anymore. But so we have to stop it. It just got too controversial. But we do like to expand, and Chinnam is always thinking how to increase and add something. So that's for our personal development. It means you've got to stay engaged in devotional service. Our secret is to be engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. That's our actual development. And our advancement comes from tolerance, Prabhupada said. You can tell one someone's advanced by their tolerance and humility. Prabhupada was very pragmatic, looked at it, things practically. He didn't look up from the other end, the esoteric end of how close you are to the gopis or something like that, but how tolerant and humble. They were signs of actual advancement.
Hare Krishna.
When you joined the movement, I may be right or wrong, but anyway, I don't think you came with the idea of being a pujari, did you? And maybe you can talk about how, when you joined, how is it you come to the point of worshiping the deities, and why you're dedicated to the deities at this point, because all these years without changing. So two things. How did you become Pajari, and why do you stay Pajari? In my report.
Well, I'll tell you, Janam's story is more interesting. That he's, when he came to Mayapur, he saw the, he saw the Pujari, so he thought, what a wonderful way to become Krishna conscious. You're right next to Krishna all day long. You're cooking for him, you're bathing him, you're dressing him. What a wonderful way. Our main rule is to always remember Krishna. That's how, and never forget Krishna. That's the, all the other rules are to support those. So what a better way to do it than have the form of Krishna right in front of you, and you're taking care of him. So he's thinking like that, what a wonderful way. Then within about 2 weeks he was the Pujari. The devotee left, he became the Pujari. Before we were devotees, he had a deity of Krishna also. He bought it because we were traveling in India. And he had a little chalk deity of Krishna. And we were living on the beach one place. So Krishna was standing on a rock outside, and then we tied a ribbon around him. And Janam said he went there one day and he found a little shell with sugar in it in front of Krishna. I did that. I couldn't remember anything. So we was imitating the Hindus at that time. But I was more or less, I had to be coherent. I didn't want to be a devotee even. I was more or less forced into being a devotee. Otherwise I'd been fitting to sit on the fence. And as far as the service of Nrisingadev, nobody wanted to be the Pujari. I was forced into that. But in my just before that, about 2 weeks before that, I just felt some need of some change. And I was praying to Tulsi. After Tulsi Puja, I was praying to Tulsi. I'd like some change. And Shingadev came along and I was pushed in the deity room. It wasn't really my choice. So I just came, when I came to Mayapur in 1974, then they said, what would you like to do? I said, well, I'm helping Jananas now, maybe I can just continue helping him. I wasn't Brahmin initiated at that time, so I just kind of inherited service. Huh? Family attachment.
Hare Krishna. Trying to, you know, I mean, what would be the easiest way to set up a standard in deity worship at home? I mean, you mentioned that if you live very close to the temple, you should focus more in doing the worship at the temple. But sometimes, you know, I mean, you have deities at home, and somehow or other, because of the mood of ignorance or passion taking over your spiritual life, you know, it's like the standard for deity worship gets neglected. I mean, in my personal case, you know, either at the temple, either way at home. So in some cases, you know, people have a tendency, I mean, some people, for example, because the deity is installed, they have more standards, and if it's not installed, then, you know, I mean, it's not as serious or for the standard. But what should be the standard, you know, for deity worship for the Grihastha, you know, when it's too difficult, you know, really, I mean, someone in my personal, you know, I don't feel ashamed of saying it. You know, sometimes you even feed yourself before you even feed the deity, you know. Or, I mean, it gets to that point, to that standard, you know. You do perform other activities. You know, you get involved with dogs, cats, other priorities in life that becomes eventually more priority than even your own deity, you know.
then means something is wrong. You brought the deity in your house for that idea that, you know, it'd be nice to worship the deity, regulate your household life. That's what it's for. So it means whatever you do, even if you are developing qualities or which are not so favorable for devotional service, you shouldn't neglect the what you started doing with the deity worship. You shouldn't make a vow before the deity also, in case you can't follow that. But generally it's best to make a commitment that, you know, we'll offer you this much at least, you know, we'll wake you up at 6 a.m, offer you a glass of water and a stick of incense, and we'll offer you our breakfast, and we'll offer you an evening meal, something like that. At least you should stick to that, and we'll give you a bathe you once a week, or change you down again. At least you should follow that. It is to regulate your life. It's for your benefit, you see. So as much as you can follow that, then at least that's one strong point in your life. That's one thing. That's one base. If you do that, that will strengthen your character and your determination. It'll be a fixed thing. In the mode of passion, it's difficult to be fixed. But if you have that, well, at least one thing, one part of your life, you'll stick to. So that you'll have to do yourself. In your household, you're more or less on your own. But in the temple, it's different, because we have the authority to give us pressure. So even if we become lax and we don't, we still have that pressure there. It's always good to have some pressure. But in the house, it'll have to be self-imposed, that pressure. But then you have to appreciate, you've invited Krishna here, you should at least give him a comfortable standard that we can maintain, and try to maintain that at least. Then if you want to increase, it's okay. But at least try to maintain that standard. For those that like to do the deity worship, they should, I'm not opposed to it, obviously it's recommended. But then they should do it in a time which doesn't interfere with any temple service they may have, or they could be doing something more for the mission. Here's the center, Radha Shamsun, there's the center of the mission, Gaurani Thai, they're the center of the mission here in Alatra, the purpose of it. So if you could do something which would facilitate that, that would take preference. But still, then you find it in your own time you can do. But if you have more time, then you can do more elaborate. Understand? We're not against it. It's recommended. But it's for you, but you're inviting Krishna in the house. We should have the decency to maintain and try to increase eventually. That eventually he takes over the house. That's the idea. He takes over our whole lives. Eventually, that would be the perfection. There's a question over that side.
Radhana Swami once said that the foundation for a temple are the brahmacharis, in the sense of the running and the maintenance. And I believe that in India this is more reasonable to expect. And because their entire lives, they're just dedicated to making sure that the deities are taken care of, everything's clean and orderly, and the householders can contribute, but they have many responsibilities as their family and their work. So their attention is elsewhere. So in the West, it's a different situation. It's a lot of householders, especially in Alachua. It's all householders. So with this installation, our goal is to install Sri Krishna Balaram here, and to install them would take a great amount of energy, effort, and time to take care of them properly as well. So I'd just maybe have some of your insight on that, on how Alachua is a community to take care of Sri Krishna Balaram when they come, and that sure the installation ceremony will be an amazing event, but as Nrsimha Kavacha said like 2 years ago, that everybody loves a wedding, but what about the marriage? So if maybe you can give some insight on what it means, like that marriage when we have with Sri Krishna Balaram and taking care of them nicely and how we can accommodate them even though there isn't a brahmachari community, mainly grihastas.
Yes, if the grihastas aren't dependent on the temple, then they can't be pressurized. It's just voluntary. So here you have to decide before you get the deities, how are you going to maintain them? Who will do it? You have to decide that first before you bring them. We don't think afterwards. But here it won't be so much energy. More or less, it'll be one person twice a day. That's all. Because all the infrastructure's already there. Already you're cooking. Already you're doing the aartis. You only have one pujari for the aarti, right? So it's not a lot. When we got the panchatattva, they're larger than... They're 7 feet tall. 9 feet to their hands. How are you going to maintain it? One or two put more pujaris, that was all. And we had the help, morning and evening help, because a lot of people want to offer help. And they come in the morning and evening. So that's the main time, dressing. But the rest of the time, it means one pujari. But here, you don't need an extra pujari because there's only one pujari anyway. So it's just that morning and evening service. And you can make a roster, and then you can auction it. Whoever gives the highest bid, they can do that one with the service. They'll be fighting for it. Sure, they're your deities. Right? The deities are for you. They're for the community, as well as the public. So you should give some of your life to the deities. At least give one slot a week. If everyone gives one slot a week, I'm sure you have hundreds of devotees, families living here. If you give one slot a week, it's not much. Then you can easily maintain. Probably even less, probably one a fortnight even. How many families here? I have 200 at least. Yeah. Your community, you've got to come forward and be part of the community. Or you can be full time. If you don't have to work, right, you can be a full time. You send your husband to work, you can be full time pujari. You can get the Mahaprasad and give it to him. You don't have to cook.
Pankajangri Prabhu, I heard you were visited in the Shingadev temple when there was a flood. You were visited by a famous snake. Can you elaborate?
I only know one famous snake, Anantadev, and one infamous, Kaliya, and the one trying to swallow Nanda. But I guess he was an ordinary snake, because he used to come and do prikram every day in the Shingadev. Because I would leave the doors open at that time because there was no electricity. They turn all the electricity off in the state because everyone travels on boats and the overhead electric wires are there. So then I would leave the doors open after Mangalarti because it was kind of spooky. Everyone would go at that time. It was very quiet with just the water and no dark, just one candle. So I'd leave the doors open to get the dawn was coming, a little light would come. But every day this snake would come in and do a prikram. So one day he was late. I already finished the puja. And this time he came the other way. He came anti-clockwise. But when he came round and I was blocking his exit, because the wall was here and the altar was here, it's only this wide. So then he came and he saw I was standing in his way. So and he was kind of right here. 3 feet, he was checking me out for some time, and my stick was on the other side, and you can't run in the water. Oh my God, what am I going to do? And I looked down on my hairs, and my arms were standing on end. It was an ecstasy. And then I was thinking, how am I going to protect myself? And then he suddenly, blop. Oh my God, in the muddy water, and I just stopped waiting for something to wrap itself around my leg. And then I looked up, and oh, the Shinkadev's right next to me. Dear Lord, you're the super soul in everyone's heart. If you want him to bite me, he'll bite me. If you don't want him to bite me, he won't bite me. Please. And then the fear went away. But I say it was a great realization, because, you know, we're meant to be dependent on Krishna, right? We're always supposed to be dependent on Krishna. Krishna's standing next to me, two meters away, and I can't remember him. I'm thinking, how am I gonna escape? How am I gonna beat him? I'm thinking of all kinds of things. It's only when I realized there's no hope for me, then, oh, Hare Bol, Krishna. So it was a good shock for me. Thank you, Dr. Snake.
How many days did the snake come?
Oh, about four times. There was another one. There was a baby one in there one time. You can't see if they're poisonous or not. Sometimes when they're young, they're not. They don't have marks developed. So he's swimming here and there, and I was sitting on. I had a table. A small table, this big, wooden table, and that I used to use as a boat, and I would put one tray on the table, and just to do a quick puja, because we couldn't dress a deity at that time, because if you drop something, it's gone. It's all muddy water, Ganga. So I had push this stuff out on the boat, on this table, with a stick and a flashlight, like that. So I'd put the table on the altar, and sit on the table, and I was about half inch above the water. Then I would do like a Manasa Puja, some quick abbreviated worship. But I was very nervous. This snake was swimming here and there. Then he disappeared. I was even more nervous. I looked down. He was curled up on the seat next to me. So I thought, well, at least he's curled up. That means he's having a little rest. You know, not many places to rest. So that was the quickest puja I ever did in my life. Then I slid off the seat and floated him away. I'll tell you another snake story. There was one man, a devotee, he was taking darshan. It was during the flood. And he was taking darshan and Shinkadev. Then someone caught him from behind. So he turned around, stepped back, and a big snake flopped from the... because we have metal gates that open. I guess the snake was up there. And just plop, fell down right where he was standing. And the thing was, there was no one in the temple. There's no one behind him. I think another day we can tell these stories of Lord Nrisimhadev and Lord Jagannath. One other program.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, you mentioned that sometimes if you dress when the curtain is open, then you see all the defects and stuff. But sometimes if you dress often, sometimes when you see the deities, instead of seeing only the beauty of the deities, the mercy of the deities, you just see, oh, you can see the nylon thread, or the garland is too, it's like... not with the idea of criticizing, but you see all these things, and that in one aspect they may distract you from the deities. And I'm not talking only about the days you dress, just some other day. How to avoid missing up the nice darshan of the deities with this that is incorporated in the mind, like, oh look, the garland is not right, you can see the blue tag, all these things.
I don't know. Don't be a pujari. Don't be the head pujari anyway.
And I have another question. Some devotees said that you cannot only one Shila, that you have to have more, otherwise they feel lonely. But Charanivas Prabhu told me that if you put Tulsi, it's not lonely. So I want, if you can please elaborate a little bit on that. That you can actually worship one Shila.
You can worship one, yes. You shouldn't worship two.
Yes.
One, three or more. They say two. I guess it's because, I don't know why, but there, some say that it's because it says two there and you worship in one, the other one will be jealous. But if there's a lot, then one, you worship all the others through one. That's, I haven't read it, but that's what I've heard.
By having one Shila, then it's completely fine.
Sorry?
If you just worship eternally just one Shila, it's okay.
Yeah, but if the other one's unhappy, it's okay if the bunch of you are unhappy, but if you're unhappy alone, it's not so good, is it? Everyone else is suffering with me, I don't feel so bad. I don't know why.
Because Charanivas Prabhu said, no, you don't need to worship more. If you have one, just put Tulsi. One Shila.
But not two. Two brings madness.
No, I don't want two. I want only one.
Okay. Take it.
It's
Be
okay.
happy with one.
Can we say that the pujari, or the person who's worshipping the shalagram, can establish the mood or of the relationship within as a servant of the shalagram, which is the mood that you're worshipping in? Can we say that the pujari can establish that?
Pujari can establish the mood.
Because sometimes, like I've heard also that that you and your brother also see Lord Nrisimhadev not in the ugra mood. He's not angry, but he's actually smiling. I've heard this from your brother. So, in other words, you have a vision to see the Lord in a certain way that maybe some of us don't see it like that. So, can the pujari establish a relationship in a very special way?
You mean different from others?
Yes.
Yeah, everyone has a slightly different relationship. Obviously, we're all different personalities. Now, if you've seen Lord Nrisimhadev in Chandan, then you can see he has a big smile. Yeah. Normally, you can't see that. But it's generally the shaligram, if the shaligram in the temple, the worship, it's a little impersonal, actually. Because you just worship, he's just come as a stone, so you can worship him very opulently. That's why the rules are very strict for shaligram worship, because he's reduced himself to a lowly stone, you may say. But with that, because he's so small, then you can offer him a golden asan, you know, you can put him on a gold coin or something, or whatever they have. You can offer him very opulent, you know, you can offer him a panchamrita abhishek, it's, you know, only this much. So you can worship, so that's expected as a kind of a highest, it doesn't have to be, but you can do it. And in the temple, we're worshipping the deity through the shaligram. Mr. Prabhupada told, if you worship, when you worship the shaligram, he said, you don't even have to bathe and dress the deities. He said, all that worship, if you bathe and dress the shaligram, then the worship will be accepted through them. So like that, but nobody, he's not the darshan. Nobody cares, nobody sees the shaligram practically on the altar. They're coming to see the main deities. Not that we should cut corners, but that's how it was described to me. So your relationship, I mean, you should have a relationship with the deity, but you should, whatever the deity you, or, anyway, we worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When you get into moods, then it becomes, get into Bhava Bhakti, but we worship in Vaidhi Sadhana, but obviously there will be some, everyone will have a slightly different mood. But overall, we worship him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he's in the mood of Dasya.
Hare.
Can we have like little detail of Ugrani Singha at home as Grihasthas?
Can you?
Some say if you don't have Lakshmi, then it brings trouble and breaks the family or something. Is that true? Or
I have heard that it's not it's not really recommended that Grihasthas worship Ugrani Singha. You better get when Prahlad's there or Lakshmi is there. That's what they say. So I know people who worship Ugrani Singha, they're very fine. I know one other person that was family was messed up completely, but that's what I've heard, that it's not generally not recommended for Grihasthas to worship Ugrani Singha because he's unpredictable. Okay, if you're sold out, you're renounced, and you don't mind living under a tree. That's what I've heard. I'm not very well read.
Thank you very much for coming to Lajwan Prabhu. So I just wanted to know a very simple question. First of all, like Srila Prabhupada says, that by worshipping the deity, you acquire archana siddhi by worshipping the deity as a science. So anyway, this takes a long time, a lot of philosophical points and pastimes of the deities. But did you have any specific instructions Srila Prabhupada gave you? As we know, Srila Prabhupada, he installed so many deities all over the world himself, and he was very careful from the beginning to the end. The last days, he was very concerned in the deity worship in ISKCON, right? He expressed that to the leaders in ISKCON. But yourself, you have any specific direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada that you can share or pass time?
Yeah. I didn't have any direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada. Jananas did. He bought the Shaligram. It was the first official Shaligram, the first temple that worshipped Shaligram, I think, in India and in the world, in ISKCON, was the one in Mayapur. And Prabhupada told us to get a Shaligram. They bought a Shaligram, and they bought it to Srila Prabhupada. Then he called Jananimus and said, this is Shaligram. Nobody knew, practically. We didn't know what Shaligram was, the Westerners. Some people say, who's that, Jagannath on the altar? Nobody could understand who he was. So anyway, they bought the Shaligram, and so Srila Prabhupada was sitting on his desk in Mayapur, and from his desk he did this. He made a whole arrangement. He had a tilak, which his tilak was sitting on something like an egg cup. So he turned that upside down, and there was a little cloth that the Shaligram would come with, and he put that cloth over it. Then he put the Shaligram on top, and then he got a matchstick. He made some tilak on his hand. He got a matchstick, and he drew a face on the Shaligram, two eyes and a little thing and a little seagull mouth. And he said, Shaligram worship means, he said the Brahmins, they keep him in the bag, in a box. He said, they take him out and they chant some mantra and offer something to eat. He said, and then put him back to sleep. He said, mantra, eating, sleeping. Mantra, eating, sleep. He said, this is Shaligram worship. And then he took off his garland and he put it over the Shaligram. And while he was talking, then the garland fell down. What was it? You see? It means he's accepted. You know the story of Krishna Das Kaviraj? You see? He's accepted. Then there was a doubt whether that was actually a Shaligram or not, we got. There was some question. Then Srila Prabhupada said, you should get another Shaligram. So they actually got another Shaligram, because this one may not have been a real Shaligram even. Somehow Prabhupada knew. And this one had the new one had a hole in it for the mouth. So then Jananimus, he drew the same thing, the eyes and the little nose and the seagull shaped mouth. above the hole. So then Srila Prabhupada came down for darshan, he said, why Krishna has a mustache? And I said, no, Srila Prabhupada, that's his mouth. He said, no mustache. No mustache. Krishna doesn't have a mustache. And then, because we was all new, we didn't know, and they said, this Shaligram means Narayan. This is Narayan. So he was, went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Srila Prabhupada, do we worship? Do we worship Shaligram as Krishna or Narayan? Prabhupada said, why are you asking? He said, well, some people are saying it's Narayan and some people are saying it's Krishna. I don't think Prabhupada replied at that time, but later on, then he sent down a crown and a flute for the Shaligram. So we understand he wanted to be worshipped as. Another interesting story about the peacock feather controversy, that Lord Chaitanya had a peacock feather. So sometimes people would say, why is Lord Chaitanya, some people from the Gaudiya Mutt, because they're all Gaudiya Mutt there, why Lord Chaitanya has a peacock feather? So then Jananda asked the Prabhupada, can Lord Chaitanya wear a peacock feather? He said, yes, why not? He is Krishna. So he said, why are you asking? He said, the Jananda said, this was a Shaligram. He said, some people say in Shaligram should be worshipped as Krishna, some people say Narayan. Prabhupada said, forget some people. Then he said the thing. But for the peacock feather, that's what he said. He said, why not? He is Krishna. He didn't mention. But he did mention that the last time he was there, when Prabhupada got sick, that 77, in my part of the last, he, or it may have been, Mahananda told me, it was quite towards the end of Prabhupada's time on the planet. But out of context, he said, it must have been in my part, because he said, are we worshipping Gaunitai here? Are Gaunitai on the altar? He said, yes, Srila Prabhupada. They weren't actually, we have a separate place at the time in the Bhajan Kutir. He said, every temple should worship Gaunitai. He said that out of context. But for the peacock feather, for Nityananda, he, I don't know, he didn't say. Sir? Not for Nityananda. But one time he asked, can Radharani wear peacock feathers? Yes. Very beautiful. For decoration. Mm-hmm. Double M.
Hare Krishna. I want to also thank you so much for coming to visit our community, Pankajanga Prabhu. And I want to acknowledge you and Janai Vas, Bruce, because in all the years that I've been visiting Mayapur, there's been so many different things that have happened. It's the holy dham. It's not easy to stay there. But I've just noticed that the different and high level of deity worship, to me, that's the entire reason why that community has become what it is today, where there's so many coming, and there's international festivals and thousands and thousands of people on a daily basis, and then the festivals, uncountable numbers of people. And that's my vision, is that it's entirely because of how nicely the deities are being taken care of and satisfied, so everything's going smoothly. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to thank you for providing that. Such a nice service, such a nice example. Mm-hmm. Hare Krishna.
I will, in that context, I will say that, of course, so many, if you look at any communities that are quite thriving, the best ones, generally you find that the leaders are really into deity worship. If you think about it. They're really concerned about the deity worship, the leaders. He's the center, isn't he? Krishna's the center of our activity. Suppose that you look after him, he'll look after you. If you decorate your face in the mirror, the reflection in the mirror will also become beautiful. And all, as when Srila Prabhupada said that you have to build this big city, a big temple, a city in Mayapur. This is the early days. There was only one building there in the rice paddies. So then Bhavananda Prabhu was saying, Prabhupada, how are we going to make a, you want us to make a city? You know, we're sitting in this rice field and you're talking about making a city. And he said, where will all the money come from? Srila Prabhupada was with one of his godbrothers. He said, our Bhavananda is always worried about money. He doesn't know that Madhava is the husband of the goddess of fortune. You simply worship Madhava and everything will come. So that's what we've seen. Okay, now it's another problem. Okay, thank you very much for inviting me to your wonderful community. My first visit to America. So nice to see so many old faces. They're not coming to Mayapur. I have to come all the way to see them here. It's like my blood family members, they say, they come and see me when I come to London because they live in that area. So they say, when is Jananivas coming? I say, he's never going to come. So then they have to come to Mayapur to see him. So some of you never come to Mayapur, so I come to see you. Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Shyam Sundar ki jai, Jai Gopi ki jai.